from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Jones with us wearing his colors. Man, bro, what a week it has been for...
Brother.
For you and your brethren over there with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Let's talk about the Dodgers.
Well, Kenny likes that. We can do that.
I don't like that. It's not an embarrassment to the city. And, you know, Kenny, how are you holding up with this? I mean, it's been a rough week for us. I mean,
I'm enjoying this. I don't have any – I could care less.
I mean, that's not true. I mean, but, you know, I understand.
See how this stuff gets painted in the public and in the media, and then people really think these things happen.
Well, I just got a piece of artificial intelligence that says you're an NBA player.
So is my wife.
So there's that. So we have dissected this Dan Hurley, JJ Redick, Woj, Shams thing quite a bit, and I think what we have settled on is this whole thing might have been a work. Vince McMahon might have booked this situation with Dan Hurley and the or not Vince, he can't book anymore. Triple H booked this whole thing with Dan Hurley pretending he was going to the Los Angeles Lakers to get a raise from the Connecticut Huskies, and all the while he can undermine your coworker Shams Charania in the process.
I mean, I'm not convinced that Dan Hurley was ever in California last week.
Somebody else said that.
I'm not convinced. I mean, you know, there's not one photo, one thing of him being at an airport back east. There's nothing. Like, yeah, I'm not convinced this ever was. It feels like Woj did a favor for the Hurley family. You know, he did write a book about the man's father, for God's sake. I mean...
So, like, with
and like you said, to go, you know, Shams had the thing, you know, he had the report about Redick, and it's almost like, oh, what, you're going to say what? I didn't say that. I'll show you. Let me make a phone call. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dan, how about, yeah, I mean, this is just, and of course, the Lakers just went along with it. I mean, God, it's just, I'll end up being their coach at this rate.
So, when we talk about, some of the reasons.
Well, you have had podcasts, so you fit the.
Well, he's qualified.
Shout out J Street Vibes.
Not with the right people. I don't think LeBron knows. You know, LeBron was never on our podcast. So,
do you think was Woj trying to get Dan a bag with the Lakers or with UConn?
I'm trying to get him a bag.
It didn't matter where, just all money's good money.
I honestly don't think he was ever going to the Lakers. I just don't. I mean, if he was really in California, you don't leave California without the deal signed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, when I saw the clip of him at the cons, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's not coming. Like, yeah, there's no way in the world he'd walk around back east at a concert when he was about to leave.
Yeah.
And it just seems it, you know, and, you know, if you want to get conspiracy theory deep, you know, it's no secret that for a good period of time, LeBron has never been Woj's favorite guy. And who looks even worse besides the Lakers in this? LeBron. Because now you've got all these, oh, Dan Hurley wouldn't want to coach LeBron. LeBron was the it just looks terrible. And it's, you know, it's, I mean, as a fan, it's embarrassing. Because, I mean, you know, say what you will, you still are the Lakers. Why are you begging people and doing these things? And it just looks really, they look real pathetic right now. And a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis on it, and is it the best team in the West? No, but it's not like they have a completely trash roster. You shouldn't be having to do all this. I mean, what is wrong with your management and ownership to where this is what it's come to? This is, you know, like, you know, you're begging people.
What do you think is going on there with the Lakers? Like, is Jeannie running things? Is Rob running things by himself? What's up with Linda Rambis? Is Trista would ask the question, like, what's really going on with the Lakers? Are they on the same page? Does anybody know exactly what direction they want to go?
I think part of it is financial. I mean, it's going to sound funny to say, but, you know, relatively speaking, Jeannie Buss is a broke owner, relatively speaking. She doesn't have, like, all these other, you know, they don't have Ballmer money. They don't have all these great, you know, business deals on the side, you know. So I think, you know, there's been a tendency in Laker history to not want to pay the coach. I think outside of Phil Jackson, who have they ever really paid, you know, as a coach? I don't think the LeBron thing is as looming as, like, is he going to leave or stay? I just think there's questions about just if you're a coach, you know, say what, you know, and I've had my issues with some things Darvin Ham did last season. But if Darvin Ham made the conference finals in one year and got fired the next year, if Frank Vogel won a championship and was fired 2 years later, you know, what security do you have? Mm-hmm. I think there are some legit questions around that now. My question is, did this whole public, whether it was a charade, whether it was just the work, whatever it is, this whole Hurley thing, that just screw everything up even more for them? Do other candidates say, nah, I'm cool. If that guy could get 6 years, where's my 6 years?
Is this a bad job?
And if I'm a candidate with the Lakers, I want 5-6 years because they fire everybody.
Right. Is this a bad job?
I don't think it's a bad job. I still think it's a bad job.
Is the Cleveland one better?
I don't know in this sense. I think Cleveland had lower expectations, and I felt like they exceeded those expectations and got better every year, and that still wasn't good enough. So I don't know if it's – I think the Laker job is always going to come with a lot of pressure no matter what. But I do think I don't know if Cleveland's. I mean, I think in terms of talent situation and where they are in their conferences, they're close. But I mean, LA is still LA, and it's not like 20 degrees in December. So I mean, I think the LA job is still going to be a better one in the sense that if you do well, it's a different level of doing well in terms of, you know, probably pay and all that stuff, but. Cleveland's going to, you know, a lot of the Cleveland job will depend on what happens with Donovan Mitchell. If he says no, if they're not keeping Donovan Mitchell, that job is completely different.
Do you look at like the whole Dan Hurley situation and JJ Redick situation as do you think this is a thorough coaching search? Like, do you think it's kind of a mess? Like, because you got James Borrego there as well, but do you look at this, the Lakers process, as they're being open-minded, they're looking for different ways, or is it just a mess because of the way everything is played out, in your opinion?
I think it's, I don't, it doesn't feel like they have direction in it. I think if, you know, like it or not, if J.J. Redick was your guy, you're not doing this whole Dan Hurley thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get that, you know, you say, well, he's a good coach, you know, but you're not, you know, if that was your guy, you're not doing all this. You know, if Borrego was your guy, you would have hired Borrego already. I mean, it's, if you had a chance to interview him twice, and then that report comes out, they haven't had a formal interview with J.J. I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? Like, what's going on down there? Like, I don't know what they're doing. It's like, you know, what do you want? Do you want a young coach? Do you want a veteran? Like, what do you want? I don't think anyone really knows what they want. I think what the probably the only promising thing that came out of that Hurley situation was the idea that they were thinking big picture, long term. But even you could argue that J.J. Redick is a long term look, because as a guy who is currently, you know, calling games and doing a podcast or doing podcasts, you can't expect him to be ready to go in a year or two first necessarily. But it's just hard to kind of gauge what they're trying to do.
But what does long term really mean when you've got a 39-year-old LeBron James on your roster?
I don't know. I mean, I think what it really means is
a very good 39-year-old LeBron James, by the way. Like, he's still playing at a phenomenal level. And you look at him, you go, like, this dude could still win a championship. But like, I don't know how long term your view can be, knowing you don't have that much time left with LeBron James on your team.
Yeah, I think what it means is that you can't make the mistake they made with the Ty Lue situation, even though, depending on what you're reading here, it wasn't as cut and dry as people have made it out to be, why they didn't get Ty Lue. But you can't bring in a coach thinking, okay, you're here to coach LeBron. You got to have a coach you like that, you know, if LeBron retires after next season, you don't go, you know what, he's gone, we're going to. You got to have a guy who you believe, you know, and they probably thought Darvin was going to be that guy. But and the thing is, too, is if you're going, whoever you get, you got to give him more than 2 years.
It's not the retirement of LeBron that I get concerned about. It's impatience. Like, oh,
yeah.
LeBron's 41. Man, they've lost these last two seasons, and boy, those rotations keep coming up, or whatever subtext LeBron says in a press conference that spends the next 48 hours getting analyzed.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he unfollows someone on Twitter or something and it becomes new.
Wait till he unfollows Bronny, because Bronny like dribbles the ball off his foot or something.
I can't take this anymore.
Poor Bronny.
He unfollows Bronny because Bronny gets signed by San Antonio. Like, you don't play for us, you know. But yeah, I don't know who they end up with at this point. I mean, like I said, if you wanted Borrego, you could have done that already. So I don't know what the holdup would be there.
Well, the tough part is now it feels like that's Cleveland's guy.
Yeah, I'm still a big Sam Cassell guy. You know, I'm still a big Sam Cassell fan as a coach, and I think if they could somehow, sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes the person or the coaches you want it not showing up, or you not getting them, works out in the end. Like, people never forget, a USC dynasty was born because everyone told them no, and the AD bumps into Pete Carroll visiting his daughter on campus. So I mean, you know, sometimes maybe they'll get lucky like that, but right now I just don't have a whole lot of faith in what they're doing. I mean, they may have to, you know, God forbid, bring in another basketball person to help out. Oh, you know,
Jason, come on, man.
Well, you know,
just an idea. Maybe this whole Rob Pelinka running everything just isn't working out the way they thought it would.
You've got Coach K right there, making sure everything goes smoothly.
I mean, I wonder.
Boy, that conversation sure has died recently, hasn't it?
I'm sure in this interview with Dan Hurley, if Coach K was there, Dan Hurley goes, okay, yeah, he's really going to want me and not his guy. Yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just, I'm at the point, I'm like, you know what? Just announce JJ already and get it over with.
It feels like the Lakers are making this unnecessarily difficult.
Yeah, we've been hearing J.J. Redick and the Lakers before they fired Darvin Ham. If that's your guy, you know, I know he's still calling games, whatever. And then now Woj would then have to report on the guy who was supposed to get the job.
Oh, that'd be tough.
Yeah, that'd be tough on him. But you know what? Just go ahead and do the damn deal. I mean, you know, if Kyrie doesn't show up anytime soon, this series would be over by the end of the weekend. So
the victory lap Shams would take if it's J.J. Redick and Woj has to report on that would be phenomenal.
Especially considering that Dan Hurley, that was the weirdest part of the report. He's been the target all along. Since when?
Well, according to Shams, since Wednesday.
and then you got Shams coming back talking about, yeah, it was never him. Shams was crazy when he said, I don't think they even offered him a deal.
That is wild.
I mean, this is like, you know, we went from Kendrick and Drake to this, and I got to, I'm gonna ride with my guy, you know. I mean, you know, I'm riding with my guy.
That's fair enough.
You got to. You know, Woj ain't did nothing for me, you know.
Fair enough.
He's closer to Toronto, you know, than Shams is too. So you know what, we got to, you know. But yeah, this is you're starting to see some of the things that a lot of us people in the media have seen in the background for years. Some of the subtle jabs, some of the private conversations where one will say something, you know, I've had conversations with Woj and he'll say something. You'll be like, whoa, okay, interesting. you know, Woj does the thing where he'll follow you. If you're like when I was covering the Kings, he would follow me at times because he didn't have an end to the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Vlade didn't like it. And there's always been like maybe two or three teams he didn't have it in. You know, when Michael Jordan was running Charlotte, MJ didn't like him. He didn't have an in Charlotte because MJ was like, we don't mess with him. So, I mean, it was, you know, these little media games are just crazy. And like, you know, and then people started calling it out like, hold up a second. You know, because remember even the whole he's going to make a decision on Monday. He's quoting Hurley and then quote sources on the deal. I'm like, what? You talk to the man, but then you don't. Then come on, and then even if he does his hits on TV, the Hurley book is behind him.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I was like, this is complete pro wrestling.
100%.
This is complete pro. I'm like, come on, this thing is completely being booked now. I'm like, come on, he's got the book right behind him. While talking about the man, come on, man.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The crazy thing about this, though, when you talk about it with the Lakers and now kind of honestly with the Cavs, too, is like we're not – the draft is right there. And I know that your GM and, you know, they do a lot of the legwork, but usually – isn't there, and maybe I'm just thinking too far into it, but usually wouldn't the coach and the GM kind of work together on the draft?
You would think, but I'm also of the belief that they know it's going to be JJ, and they've talked to JJ about stuff he liked. I believe that's already been done. So I think it's more, like I said, I don't understand the whole Hurley thing. Would it have been cool to get him? Yeah, but he was never leaving. I don't believe he was ever leaving. So I think I'm like, why would you then upset your you know, presumed top target to play this weird game? But like I said, do we know if he was ever really offered it? Yeah, we don't know anything.
Did you happen to read as we switch gears? Because we have no clue when or where this is going to end or who's going to wind up being the Lakers head coach. Maybe we'll get a clearer picture when the Larry O'Brien trophy is hoisted and JJ's responsibilities to ESPN and ABC are over with. But did you read Jason Jones' latest article?
I didn't.
You might want to. It's literally written for you.
Oh, well, you know, let me see.
30 years of above the rim.
Oh. Why didn't you talk to me? Why didn't you interview me?
He could literally act out the entire movie. I mean, I talked to Leon.
I talked to Wood Harris.
But why didn't you talk to Kenny? You talked to the stars of the movie.
Oh man, I should have been in there on the interview. I got questions.
I mean, what questions you got? I mean, I talked to Leon for a good 30 minutes for the story.
Well, I don't know if anybody ever addressed this, but I'm of the belief that there's a guy, I think the team was a red team, in the shootout. I believe that was supposed to be Marlon Wayne's character. And he was, like, going off. I don't know if you remember. They kind of, like, followed his team a little bit, and he was hooping or whatever. But I think he lost to Kyle's team. And I feel like that was Marlon Wayne's character because he, like, left after Birdie dissed him in backstage. And he was like, all right, bet. And then, like, walked away. And then they just followed this random light-skinned guy's team, and I think that was supposed to be Marlon Wayne's team. I never got an answer.
Oh, see, if I'd have known, I'd have asked that question.
Inquiring minds want to know.
There's no way any person who's seen the movie less than 10 times thinks about anything like that. And the best part about the article for me, Jay, was I never knew Leon's last name.
I don't know it now.
It's Robinson. I always thought it was just Leon. For years, I think that's all he went by was just Leon.
Played college basketball at Loyola Marymount.
Leon to me.
No, that's
actually my editor added his last name. I'm like, this is Leon.
It is Leon.
I mean, why would I give him a name, like a last name, when his name is Leon?
I would like, give
even
him
his,
a last.
Even his IG, I think, or his Instagram, or, is just Leon. Just Leon. So I'm like, yeah.
I do believe that is top five, maybe even top three basketball movie ever made.
It aged really well.
Mm-hmm.
When you look back at it, kind of some of the themes, and it aged really well. And I know when I talked to Wood Harris about the movie, he said, you look back, Leon was really the only established actor in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was kind of like scrapping their way up. He's like, Dwayne Martin might have been in some stuff already. Marlon Wayans was still like the baby of the, you know, like Keenan's little brother.
Mm-hmm.
Tupac hadn't become Tupac yet, even though Wood said there was some kind of, you know, you could tell Pac was Pac. Cause I mean, at that point, he was starting to, I think I Get Around was out by the time they were filming the movie and everything like that. So, you know, you did kind of see the groupies and all that for Pac, but Pac wasn't, what he would become. And
even Bernie Mac.
Yeah. And they said Bernie Mac was hilarious. They said Bernie Mac was the best on that film. Well, the anecdote was that Bernie never said the same line the same way twice.
Mm.
That's why in the scene where, they end up killing Bernie's character. You see, they cut away from Pac's face because Pac starts laughing. Because he kept changing the line, and they couldn't get Bernie to say the same line. They said, "One, but they're like, we got to take one of these." So they cut away from Pac because Pac laughed, and then you know, Bernie's character gets killed. But there's just the depths of the movie. You look at the mental health aspect, the family, all those, trauma. And one thing I thought that, like what Leon said, was that he said that he's a method actor. So I asked him, how funny was it to be on the same set with Bernie and Marlon? He was like, he said, I was in the zone. So even if they were cracking jokes, I wasn't laughing. he said, I was Shep. And then to kind of relive that moment when he went back to Rucker a couple of years ago with Shep.
Mm-hmm.
Can't erase what we were, man. Champions, baby. Can't erase what we were.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah, and then the fact that I talked to John Wallace about being out there that day, he said they didn't even tell all the former Knicks that Shep was going to show up.
That's fire. That was a great clip. The social media clip was phenomenal.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a fun one. You know, to kind of, you know, it took some, you know, the movie came, you know, the anniversary was in March, but spent some time trying to track down some other people. That's how I ended up getting John Wallace in the story. So yeah, it was, and you know, and Leon shared the story on Instagram. So it's like, that's, you know, it's getting more traction on the site and everything. Yeah, it was a cool dude. I mean, cool dude to talk to. Still looks exactly the same.
Crazy.
did you talk to Dwayne Martin?
I didn't get a chance to get to Dwayne Martin, but you know, yeah.
Dwayne Martin really a hooper. Really, what did he get, like a trial with the Knicks, or made like the one of the last cuts for a Knicks one of the years or something like that?
Yeah, and that's what I think what Wood was saying too, and actually John was saying what made the movie cool was you had real hoopers in the movie. You know, you had guys who actually, you know, who actually played. You know, wasn't actors; they had to teach how to play basketball. Mm-hmm. You had some guys who really could hoop. You know, because you know Wood played basketball in college. You know, he was a basketball player.
Yeah.
So the fact they found all of these former high school or college basketball players to put in the movie, because he said when the movie came out, people probably just thought it was another street ball movie. Mm-hmm. But I think it became a lot more than that over time. And like I said, you watch it now, it's like, man, Pac was so good in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's one thing that Leon says, one of the tragedies is that Pac couldn't leave the street stuff alone. He said Pac would have was on his way to be such a great actor. Mm. He probably would have been a greater actor than rapper.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
There's that scene in the cemetery with Leon and Pac talking.
I mean, wait, what you want to do? We leaving that? What are we doing? What? He talking about the scene. Is that a call? We could go there.
Not.
I mean,
it's
we
not.
Can reenact
it's
it.
Not. It's not. It never. Just for future reference, it never is. I'm never calling for an impression or for you to reenact the scene from a movie, ever, or a TV show. Like, just on. So we're covering all our bases.
I was like, we could do it right now. No. I'm a method actor too. We could do it right now.
That's not exactly how I would classify you, but that's fine. The scenes of Leon playing basketball without the ball against no one, like those are, like in hindsight, those are such jarring scenes.
Yeah.
They're so,
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But they're so important to the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what John said. John said the thing is a lot of basketball players do that, but then you take into account why he's doing that. Like you can't shake the tragedy, he can't shake it. And it's like he's trying to relive that moment where his friend died, and he's like just, you know, just battling it. And what Leon said, he said he tried to portray that role through his eyes. He wanted you to look in his eyes and just see pain every time you saw him. Hmm. Yeah, so yeah, that was definitely one of my more fun things to work on recently.
Definitely gonna have to read the article first, but definitely gonna have to watch the movie again.
So. That's really like that method acting is so fascinating to me, because that means that dude lived in a dark place during the filming of that movie. Like, you think about that character and what he was and what he was conveying to live that.
Yeah,
man, that's crazy.
He might have lived right there in Harlem the whole time. Like,
walked
right down the
around with all
Natalie's.
That pain on him for during the whole filming.
That's crazy.
Meanwhile, Pac is out here with a bunch of groupies, and Bernie Mac is telling jokes and making everyone laugh. He's over here just in pain. Mm.
That's crazy.
Jason, great stuff, man. It's, great stuff, you know, on the Lakers and in reporting and the dynamics of all that. But like the Above the Rim article, man, that's where you shine right there.
I'm reading that when we get off the air, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You know, I'm about to go text my boy Shams and tell him he's the man. You know,
there you go. Well, I figured you was going out to work. Like, that fraternity you got's like a full time job.
Oh man, every weekend.
Like every time I log on to like something, there's Jay out with the family.
Am I ever invited or no? I just
not.
You've been invited. Yeah, you're invited to stuff. I mean, we was hanging out with Lance Woods a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I mean, I ain't getting no text, man. I'm trying to go. Well, I'm trying to go when you guys go on the boat. You know all that.
I'm gonna shoot you a text for the next event we got. Yeah, you and the wife come through.
Them cues is wild though, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Hey,
I don't know what you're talking about, man. It's a good old good. Look at
the sheep is that. Jay, we appreciate you. Thank you, my brother.
No problem. Take care.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.